Ich habe heute einen Apparat an meinem
Herzen. I have a device attached to my heart today. The doctor called me in and said, we need to do a 24-hour test on you. And now I hope you don't think I'm a sheriff because I have this machine hanging on my side. I'm worried about my heart, but we are very grateful to the Lord for everything He does. And I have many greetings to pass on from all the dear people I have met in the last few days. House meetings are also very nice, really nice. In Vienna, we also experienced something beautiful again after many years. When we were down in Kitzsee, we received a phone call. It was from some sisters who had heard us in Vienna, perhaps 12 years ago, and had needed all this time to realize that they too needed to be baptized biblically. But late is not too late. And so we spent an hour there and made preparations. And I received another helping hand when I said, let us pray. One of the sisters ran out and fetched some headscarves. When she heard we are going to pray, she fetched the headscarves. And you know, I am not always sensitive, not always diplomatic. But then I said, all right, let's wait with a prayer. Sit down and relax. I would like to read from the Holy Scriptures first, before you put on your headscarves. I said, there will still be time for that, after I have read the Scriptures. And now I have to laugh myself, because it came so spontaneously. I then read from 1 Corinthians 11, and when I read the first part, one of the sisters said, see, see, and she was the driving force behind this. The first verses say that it is not proper for a woman to pray or prophesy with her head uncovered, for she dishonors her head, and for the sake of the angels. And she kept saying to the one who was so close to her, who probably hadn't quite understood, with a headscarf, see, see. And I said, yes, we will see together in a moment. And then I read verses 13, 14, and 15. And then the other one jumped up, the one she had said to, you see? And then she said, yes, now I see it. And she said, thank God, we don't need headscarves anymore. And that was a wonderful experience. Without a word of explanation, I didn't need to say a single sentence. I had barely finished reading when the other sister spoke. In this way, sisters are also allowed to speak in a meeting when it is beneficial and does good. But I was happy about it myself. Because if you have to push and give extra lessons, then such a beautiful birth never comes about. But when the Spirit of God works and convicts and reveals, then it is simply there, and then it also agrees with the Word of God. Then, on Monday evening, I was still in Switzerland. We had a lovely meeting in Kreuzlingen, a testimony meeting, and it does you good to hear a whole number of brothers Unfortunately, this time it was only brothers who gave their testimonies. How great God's word has become to them. And that gave me new courage and confirmed that God's word indeed accomplishes what it was sent to do. The beauty of the end-time message is that it does not focus on any special direction, so to speak, but rather contains a balanced proclamation of God's entire plan of salvation. And we have recognized the value, the inestimable value of God's eternal word. Many can report feelings, certainly blessings, healings, and many things. We may be at the very end of the line. It could be that we are the realites, but when it comes to the main thing, to the word, then things will turn around, then the last will be first, and for that we are very grateful to our God. That really became great to me. We were also able to clear up a misunderstanding. One cannot be too careful in life with the choice of words. I just told a sister who had said various things to me. I can't remember, but she said it, and so it must be true. I had only said to her, "These things will ruin you." But what I meant was that if she continued to dwell on it and let it get her down, then those things would ruin her. And now, 2 years later, she asked me, "Did you really mean that I would ruin myself?" And then I thought to myself, "Sister, I didn't say that, let alone mean it." And I explained it very briefly, and then she started to cry. And then she said, "How could I misunderstand like that?" "Yes," I said, "Sister, think about what you said before. It was just an answer I gave." And so God was able to help there too, and there was great joy. You have to be very careful in everything, that the enemy doesn't get behind it. He will try to do this, especially with us who are serious, who want to stand our ground before God. That is precisely where he will do everything he can to get behind, with one intention, to cause harm. But those who are of God know well the scripture that says of Satan, "His thoughts are known to us." God has thoughts of love and peace, and the devil has exactly the opposite thoughts. He must be the adversary. And so we can only hope that with what we say or think, often circumstances are to blame for what one says. But those who do not know the circumstances will find it difficult to understand certain things. I would like to clarify this here. At the end of the year, I thanked everyone here from the bottom of my heart. And I looked for the young man who plays here and did not see him. And after all that time had passed, I saw him come in the door with some young people and sit down with them. At that moment, I thanked him too. I had no way of knowing that he had lived with some young people and was not in the hall. I looked for him. There are things that you can only understand when you know all the facts. And I would like to apologize sincerely, but I couldn't change it. It was a situation that was forced upon me by circumstances, and I still can't change it today. But I would like to say, whether in his presence or not, I believe that we are all truly grateful to God for such talents, and especially for young people who could pursue other interests, but who instead devote their lives and talents to the Lord. We want to be grateful for them. And I believe it will do us all good to tell them that sometimes a kind word at the right time costs nothing, but can bring great rewards, can achieve great things, can work wonders. And so, let us be truly grateful for everything, for every service. I say this only so that no one continues to feel burdened, so that no one has to dwell on unnecessary thoughts or be weighed down, so that no one feels even the slightest bit of resentment in their heart. There's no place for that, no time for that, absolutely no need for that. The word we have already heard is a wonderful word. First, it is a question: from whence cometh my help? And then the answer: my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. How often we can ask, from whence cometh my help? Our answer is also, my help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. He not only watches over Israel, he watches over his people whom he has redeemed. He is the same. The God of Israel is our God, and the Redeemer of Israel is our Redeemer. There is only one Lord, and he is God. Psalm 122 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. One could continue reading. I read a little in Corinthians today. I did so in the Luther translation to spare my eyes, which are not getting any younger or better. And there is something so wonderful in chapter 2. I might take that as a Bible study for tonight. And I intend to set a trap for you, but in a good way, not in a bad way, just to see if we have ever seen it the way I saw it today in the Holy Scriptures. First Corinthians, chapter 2. Here it says in verse 1, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Let us continue reading from verse 6. "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him." Here I pause, and here comes my question. What does this verse refer to? Verse 9. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. What does this verse refer to? Do you all agree that it refers to the glory above, which we are all waiting for? Do you agree? Don't say it too loudly. Think about it before you loudly say yes, because I did say that I wanted to trick you. No, I don't want to. But I noticed something today that is also relevant. We all know that God has prepared something for us that will surpass everything we can think of, everything we can comprehend. We know that because that is no secret. But whenever the phrase "as it is written" is found in the New Testament, we must look up where what we are reading is actually written. I will read it again. "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man." I then turned to Isaiah 64, verse 3. And here we seem to be shown or given the key to what God has prepared for those who love Him. He said, "Whoever loves me, I will love, and I will reveal myself to them." I must admit that the wording is perhaps a little clearer in the Luther translation. I read verse 3. "And that from ancient times no one has heard, no ear has heard, no eye has seen a God besides you." Shall I read it again? "No ear has heard, no eye has seen a God besides you, who does so much good to those who wait for Him." So here we are not talking about paradise or beauty or glory, but about God. No ear has heard, no eye has seen a God besides you. Has it not become great for us that we believe in only one God, in the one true living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? No eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard that there is a God besides you, who does good to those who wait for Him. Let us return. I said that the wording in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 is as follows: "But it has come, not it will come, it has come, as it is written." Who has the Menge Bible handy to read it? Not it will come, but it has come. Which verse was it again? Verse 9, yes. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love Him." Amen. Which God has prepared for them that love Him. Now I read on what He has prepared. It is right here in verse 10, referring to verses 9 and 8 and so on. "But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God." Do you see what this is about? "But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So no one knows what is in God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The point here is that the Spirit of God reveals the Godhead to us, leads us into it, what no one has seen, what no one has heard, what no one can conceive of. If a person could know God, then we would not need the revelation of Jesus Christ at all. But the fact is that no one can say that Jesus is the Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And by grace, we can see how this fits into the context. We must always stay on topic. In verse 1, we read, not with high words or wisdom to proclaim to you the mystery of God. You know Brother Branham's sermon, Christ is the mystery of God revealed, hidden to some, revealed to others. Here it says, to proclaim to you the mystery of God. Then it continues in verses 6 and 7. In verse 7 it says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. The wisdom of God is in a mystery. And Paul writes to Timothy, great is the mystery of godliness, but the wisdom of God is hidden in the mystery. Just as God was hidden in Christ and could not be seen with a natural eye, all the people were puzzled and wondered who this man is. Blank spot, hidden in a mystery, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. We are to be glorified with Him. We wait for the transformation of our bodies, and we know that when the Lord suddenly appeared before His disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration, He looked completely different than before. His face was no longer as it had been before. Suddenly His face shone like the sun in all its strength. His raiment were no longer ordinary raiment, but shining white. They saw Him transfigured. They saw Him as John later saw Him on the Isle of Patmos. Here it speaks of the wisdom of God, which is hidden in a mystery, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Then verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Here the Lamb of God who was crucified is called the Lord of glory. That is who He is. That is who He will remain for all eternity. Even though He temporarily laid aside His divinity, He remains the same for all eternity. Even if He reveals Himself in different ways in the meantime, in order to realize every area pertaining to redemption. Someone asked me on this trip, I think it was a doctor from Klagenfurt. He asked me, what is the significance of the book Ruth in the Bible? He said, I've read it. It is not long, and I do not know what to make of it. And I said, it is one of the most powerful books in the entire Bible, for it speaks of the redemption of those who are related but indebted, and it testifies that the one who wanted and was supposed to redeem us had to enter into a kinship relation in order to then claim us as his own. That is why it is written in Hebrews 2, just as children share in flesh and blood, so he also shared in flesh and blood. He became like us, entered into a kinship relation with us in order to redeem us. People do not understand this, but when you see it with spiritual eyes, although you might ask yourself, which you should not do, why God revealed his great and glorious plan of salvation through such examples in such simplicity. But that is the way of God, to explain everything in the simplest way so that everyone can understand. When the Lord was on earth, he did not give high mathematical examples. He spoke of the field, of wheat, of weeds. He spoke of many things, of fishing, of all kinds of things. And every person could understand. We know that Brother Branham did the same, guided by the Spirit of God. I will come back to this. It has become very important to me. Everything that awaits us in glory. We sang a song about this somewhere. The pearly gates are open, and other songs, the streets of gold, and so on. That is all beautiful and wonderful. But first, we must be transfigured with the glory of which it is written that our Lord was transfigured. Glorify me with the glory I had with you before the world was founded. And it says, so that they too may be glorified. It is simply part of it. It says here, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory, but it has come to pass, as it is written, what no eye has seen, and no ear has heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. What then is this special thing? The Lord said, whoever loves me, I will love him, and I will reveal myself to him. The world will no longer see me, but you will see me. This is talking about more than just paradise. This is about a revelation of God, a revelation of Jesus Christ. Before we go there, we need to know what this is all about. I will read the words from Isaiah again, so that you know where they belong. I will perhaps read verse 2 and then verse 4 as well. Here it says, when thou didst terrible things, which we looked not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, Neither has the eye seen, O God, beside thee. What no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, God has prepared for those who love him. What is this now? What is it all about? It is about the revelation of Jesus Christ, God revealed in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Whoever sees me sees the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? I wish it were written as clearly in this Bible as it is here in the Luther translation. But Luther had one thing going for him. He had an unlikely, incomparable ability to express himself in words. Menge has written much more clearly, with much longer sentences. But when it came down to it, here is a very powerful statement. No ear has heard, no eye has seen a God besides you. And then it is written here, as we have read, but it has come to pass, as it is written, what no eye has seen, yes, what has no eye seen, a God besides you. No prophet has seen three, no apostle has seen three or four. Every eye anointed by God has seen only one, and no God but you. Yes, that is the word. That is the Holy Scripture. And so we are grateful. It says here, but it has come to pass as it is written. Amen. It has also come to pass with us as it is written. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. And we can say that God has revealed it to us through the Spirit. I mean, they all sing of the glory. There are several million of them at this time. But to whom has the Lord revealed himself? Who has seen this divine mystery through the Spirit? But it has come to pass as it is written. And we have read as it is written. No ear has ever heard, no eye has ever seen a God beside you. Now there are many who see double and triple. And Brother Branham says there is something wrong with their eyesight, not with their glasses. And when we have anointed eyes, then we really see as the prophet saw. Then we see and hear as men of God saw and heard. They were under the direct guidance and inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I was happy about that today, thinking how wonderful. Who are those who will enter into that glory there? And John 14 still remains, and many other scriptures in the Bible, where the Lord promised to go and prepare a place and come again to take us to himself. And also the description of the New Jerusalem, all that remains. But this is actually about the revelation of all revelations, the mystery of all mysteries. No ear has ever heard, no eye has ever seen a God besides you, who does so much good to those who wait for him. Praise be to our God. Today we wait for him. Even our eyes do not see two or three. They see with all their hearts, through revelation, one God, who has revealed himself in heaven as Father, on earth in the Son, and who has taken up residence in believers through the Holy Spirit. And we can also count on this, who does good to those who wait for him. We too can say today, Lord, we wait for you. Do us good according to your mercy. Let us feel that you love us. What is in verse 4? Just so wonderful. Thou meetest him that rejoices and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways. What a wonderful word. Let us quickly return to 1 Corinthians 2. But it has come to pass as it is written. And how is it written? We have read it. No eye has seen, no ear has heard of a God besides you. This agrees with everything God himself has said. He said again and again, there is no God but me. What people say is not valid at all. We believe the testimony of God. What no eye has seen, and no ear has heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. I say it again, all the heavenly glory is prepared for us. But God has also prepared this revelation of Jesus Christ for his people, that it may be revealed to us through the Spirit, as it is written here in verse 10. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Here it doesn't say, and the Spirit searches all things, even the width and breadth of paradise or of heavenly glory, but the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. And I say this with all my heart. This is what distinguishes us from all others, that this divine mystery has been revealed to us. We cannot explain it with our minds, but we do not have to. Is there anywhere a commandment that we should explain God with our minds? No, as it is written, and all the heavens, even the heavens of the heavens, cannot contain you, O God. Who are we that we can comprehend him? The 7th verse is so precious. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Do you see what this is about? You have to stay on topic, read in context, and see what is being said. We speak the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God is foolishness in the eyes of men. And the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. God does not need anyone to teach him. He speaks for himself. And here it says, we speak of the wisdom of God, which is hidden in a mystery, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. I tell you how it is. The glorification, and specifically in relation to our present time, we know that we have no right to apply standards. God will judge people in every age according to the spiritual state that existed at that time. We cannot demand that people in Luther's day should have believed what is believed today, because it was not preached at that time and had not been revealed. More will be demanded of us in these last days than was demanded of them back then. And now it is important to understand this revelation of God, which is so hidden, as it is written, we speak the wisdom of God, which is hidden in a mystery. I could now go to Colossians, and there Paul writes of this mystery, and he says, this mystery is Christ. Christ, the mystery of God revealed. How wonderful that we too may see this. Whoever wants to be glorified, transformed from this last period of time, this last generation, or the last church age, and belong to the transfigured multitude, must allow himself to be led by the Spirit of God into the mystery that was previously hidden, but has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets. And when people then say, others were saved without you coming along with these things. Who is coming with your things? We are not coming with our ideas. God is coming with a final revelation of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we must accept it. And the moment we accept it in faith, it becomes a living revelation. We do not need to explain it to anyone, but for us, it will then be an absolute certainty. But God has revealed it to us through His Spirit. What has He revealed to us? What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard. They couldn't understand it at all. Do you realize what it was all about? What did the Jews do to our Lord? He was a stumbling block. They didn't see it. They didn't want to hear it. And they said, we don't want this man to rule over us. They couldn't see it. Blessed are those, as the Lord said at that time, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Now quickly, the last verses, 12 and 13. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Could we have known this? Oh yes, because it was revealed to us by the Spirit. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. We know whom we believe. We know who He is. Then in verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches. It can teach a lot. But which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. It cannot be compared in any other way. And spiritual is not the one who thinks himself to be spiritual. Spiritual is the person who has been permeated by the Spirit of God, who has the Spirit of revelation within himself, as Paul prayed, that the Lord may give you the Spirit of revelation and of the knowledge of Himself. And only to spiritual people can we explain these spiritual things. All others will say, I'll just take you to Matthew 3, then you'll see 3 right away. There you see the Son being baptized by John. There you see the Spirit descending like a dove. There you hear the voice from heaven resounding mightily. And then they ask, can't you count to three? Yes, I can. The question is whether those who can count to three can also count to one. That is the big question, because one is always the starting point. Only then does everything else come. God is many things. He is Creator. He is Sustainer. He is Savior. He is King. He is many things. He can reveal Himself as He pleases, and He will not ask anyone about it. The same Lord Jesus, who died as the Lamb of God, was also high priest who offered the sacrifice, and the same who was the mediator became the advocate. And so it is written, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And the same one who is and was the advocate appeared to Saul on the road to Damascus in the heavenly light. And when he fell to the ground and was not a little astonished, he asked him, who are you, Lord? And the answer came, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Let the scribes explain that to me. They cannot do so. They cannot. They don't need to. They can stay where they are. We do not want the scribes. We want to be taught by God, led into the word of the Lord with divine grace and wisdom. And I tell you, to whom this has been revealed, a brother said the same thing recently. He said, Brother Frank, it all begins with the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that is true. It all begins with the revelation of Jesus Christ, and I will reveal myself to him. Whoever has my word and keeps it and loves me and so on, I will reveal myself to him. Whoever he reveals himself to no longer puzzles, no longer guesses. He knows whom he believes in. Dear heart, can you also say, it has been revealed to me by the Spirit, a precious treasure, the greatest and most glorious revelation, in which all other revelations are contained, is the revelation of God in Jesus Christ our Lord, the revelation of the Father in the Son. And for this, we are heartily grateful to our Lord. For thus, we have been brought into the relationship of sons and daughters with God, to become sons and daughters of God, because the revelation took place in the Son, in the flesh. Everything happened in order to realize God's great plan of salvation, and we are allowed to be part of this glorious plan of salvation. God has prepared many things in glory. Do not worry about that. We will be surprised. But those who do not have the revelation of Jesus Christ will also be surprised. It is part of it. It is the first part. And God will give the rest by grace. Amen. Let us stand up and worship. Heavenly Father, my heart is also moved to thank you, to worship you, O Lord. Truly, no eye could see by itself, and no ear could hear by itself, that there is a God besides you, because there is none. You are the only one. This has been revealed to us by the Spirit, and we thank you from our hearts for this. We also thank you for preparing glory for us. You have prepared many things for those who love you. Faithful Lord, continue to work in us. Take away everything that disturbs Everything that hinders, take it from me, take it from us. Lord, we come before your holy face to experience you anew, to be connected with you anew, to have fellowship with you. Beloved Lord, reveal yourself among your people as the same one. We praise you and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.